We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs. I'm excited to announce that my show, The Compound, is now part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Join me and my teammates Dakota Mekas and Zach Short. This week, we welcome Cubs first baseman, World Series champion Anthony Rizzo to The Compound. Check it out. Subscribe. The Compound on the Blue Wire Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. Not with me today is producer and co-founder. I can't even speak. I'm out of practice. You know, it's been a while. We're not potting a lot. There's lots of stuff going on. But our producer's not here today, as he hasn't been for a while. Brian's like pretty missing in action. Maybe you guys should harass him on Twitter to do more shows and to do his job. But holding down the fort with me today is statistician and pun master, Nikias Duncan.
Hello. It's been a while.
Best in the industry.
That's a very high praise that I probably don't agree with, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Hashtag some giant publication, hire Nikias and make his work be heard around the world because it's what he deserves.
Now that I agree with, we can do that.
Also with me today is our homie from the Dishes and Dimes podcast, Iman. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me. And I also co-signed the hashtag everyone hire Nikias.
Please, this is what we need. We need this good analysis out there, the best basketball mind that I know. We need this out. And take a listen to Dishes and Dimes. Where can they find it, Iman? I always listen on Spotify, but where can the people find your podcast?
Apple, Spotify, and other places I'm sure other people use. Those are the two main ones.
Listen, if you need content of the defending champion Toronto Raptors, that's where you go.
That part right there.
Along with so much more stuff with their great cast of people on the show. It's probably I think you guys have like my favorite collection of talent. It's so diverse, so wonderful. You guys are funny, have great chemistry, and you guys are smart as hell. So please check out that podcast, especially if we have a season. The Raptors are certainly very firmly will be in the mix till late. So you want that basketball content.
And by that, you mean they're winning it all.
I mean, of course. I mean, okay. They're gonna repeat. They're gonna go back to back. They're gonna beat the Clippers in the finals. It's gonna be great.
I love it.
Are we doing Dishes and Dimes right now, or is this?
that's the second part. That's the B roll. Okay, so the big thing that's going on right now, and the big thing that I really want to talk about is the stuff going on in the NBA, whether it's gonna come back or not, and more importantly, kind of the divide going on with players. So. For those of you who don't know, how would you not know, it's been all over the news. So Kyrie Irving has really been outspoken lately about the restarting of the season and how a lot of players were not really consulted on this, and maybe more marginalized voices in the league were not really spoken to or talked to about the possibility of restarting the season, what it means not just for their health, but also like everything that's going on with the protests and wanting justice and police reform and so many other things in this country, police abolishment, all that stuff that's going on right now. And there's a coalition of players that feel like this probably is not the best time to start the league. There's also concerns, there's health concerns, there's this entirely incredibly messy proposal by the NBA that, guys, are we even sure like what the hell the plan is for safety?
I don't think the NBA really knows what their plan is for safety.
Like, how do you propose the restart of the season? You go through all these weird permutations of 8, 9, 10 seed, and you don't have a safety plan in place. I don't get what's going on here.
Yeah, I said that it feels like they have like put the final touches on before they've even like created an actual safety plan. So it's like, what are you prioritizing here? What is the reason the NBA stopped, and why are you bringing it back? Because it doesn't seem like the NBA actually knows.
Like, at this point, I've kind of resigned to the fact that they just don't really give a shit about anybody's health, and they just want to salvage any money that they can and not have the salary cap ruined. Like, I don't really get what's the point anymore.
That's really it. They want the money.
Yeah. And they're being really blatant about it, though, right? Like, it's just a complete prioritization, well, that's a word, of money over anything else. And it's like, how has player health just been pushed so far back?
Like, not just that, but like, I've also read people that would insinuate that certain owners would want the CBA thrown out if this happens because it's not beneficial to their market, which is like another level of disgusting grossness that these billionaires are looking for outs on a contract that they negotiated with players, and they're trying to use this awful situation to their advantage. Like, for as much as people want to like give the NBA the hashtag woke league tag, like this has been handled as, even though they were the first to shut it down in the States, it's been handled as poorly as you can imagine going forward.
The entire thing has been tone deaf, honestly. That's the best way I can describe that. As you talked about, like, the optics of the owners want, some owners wanting to throw it out. Like, a 50-50 split is already kind of screwing the players a little bit once you consider that they are the product. And now you're asking them to leave their families, to go into a bubble in a state that, let's just say they don't have the best.
We're not trending in the right direction here in Florida.
Yeah, in Orlando specifically, like, it's not great. And like, the NBA haven't really decided how firm the testing is going to be for the Disney employees, which seems like a pretty big deal if players are going to be there for 2-3 months. And I just don't see how it matters that much. I understand there's a lot of money at play, but for the NBA to be as quote unquote progressive and quote unquote woke as they have been, and to have as many outspoken players as they do, headlined by LeBron, who, I mean, props to him. He's really trying to bring the hammer to voter suppression right now. But to have these kind of players in your building and to be like, we'll figure it out as we go. The only thing that really matters here is that we need to continue the season. It just strikes me as tone deaf.
I completely agree. It's incredibly tone deaf. And my whole thing is like, okay, NBA owners, if you want this so badly, like, are you willing to risk 7 weeks? Are you willing to risk, like, 4 months or however long it's going to be in this quote-unquote bubble? It's not a bubble. If people are in and out, that's, for one, just not a bubble. It defeats the entire purpose of creating a bubble if you're allowing Disney employees in and out. But, like, if the NBA owners are not willing to risk this, which we all know they're not, there's not going to be a single owner in there from the start, why are we expecting players to do this?
Why are we expecting players, and also, like, to put their families through that separation? The players that have kids, right, like, that probably don't get to see their father a lot, you know, that's traveling, you know, in the league and all that stuff. So the idea that all the players did not vote on this, or all the players were not consulted, like, I have no idea how. I mean, out of every league that we have, at least stateside and North America, like, this is such a star personality driven league, and you don't talk to your players, all of them. Like, who did you ask? Did you just ask LeBron and CP3? Like, what happened?
Have they checked in on Karl Anthony Towns at all through all this? Like, he literally lost a parent to COVID. Like, that's not a small thing. Like, if anyone's input should matter, it should be his, even if the Timberwolves aren't, like, a playoff team or going to the bubble. Like, that should kind of highlight, hey, we might need to be careful about this. Because even if the season continues, they have the bubble, and the NBA players are mostly fine, if one contracts it and brings it back to their grandparent or their parents or whatever, I mean, that's still lives being affected. And even if they don't, even if there is no death from the COVID, like, we've seen that there are, like, long-term, long issues. We're still trying to figure out things about the virus itself. So I really don't see the point in it.
I feel like every week there is a piece of news that debunks something that we thought to be fact about the virus 3 months ago, and then the next week it's something else, and it's like, what did I read today that it's unlikely that you contracted on a surface? And I was like, wasn't that the whole point when this started, that we can't touch anything because it's not airborne? Like, I know less about this virus than I do about VORP. I don't know anything about it. It's confusing, and I'm just scared of it. And I think so, rightfully, a lot of players should be too.
100%. This, like, it feels like people are harping on this mortality rate. And like Makai said, that's not the point. Like, even if people don't die, we have no idea what the long-term effects are. We have no idea about anything to do with this virus. And Florida, like everyone is pointing out, is trending in the wrong direction. To throw a bunch of people there right now in a enclosed quarters where if one person gets it, it can very much spread to everyone who's there, just seems like a plan that's doomed to fail.
In a sport where people lick their fingers and touch the basketball, right? It's like, and it's not to call the players gross. Yeah. It's just like, okay, you want, that's how you play. Like, these are the best in the world at what they do. Like, you can't erase, unlearn that, these habits that have been drilled into you, especially NBA players who are such creatures of habit. Like, how are you going to legislate that?
I think after, like, in March, before the season shut down, it might have even been the Jazz game, like, the last game the Jazz played. They played the Raptors, and I think Ibaka, like, kissed the ball that game. And it's just like, this is what we're
lucky,
talking about.
Lucky ball. I've been very public on Twitter. I didn't leave my house for 88 days. I counted. Trying to keep people safe. I'm scared. I forgot what reporter mentioned it, that Harden has asthma, or, you know, there are players that have, even though these are world-class athletes, like, there are players that have pre-existing conditions, and we don't know the effects that it could have. And I mean, I think we're still not even sure what it could have on kids either, right? So it's like, I don't know. And on top of all of that, we have a lot of players in this league, in our league, that are activists and that don't feel like it's appropriate to play right now, and I feel like their voices are important. And Kyrie, and the stuff that's happening with Kyrie right now, a lot of media calling him a bad messenger, a lot of that Woj piece that was like, listen, people down here in Miami, are this is not surprising to them, because when LeBron came to the Heat, Woj just put out hit piece after hit piece about LeBron in a way that was incredibly uncomfortable and disgusting. So, like, this is not new to us down here. Like, we're familiar with this kind of work of his, but I mean, it just clearly felt so slanted. And I don't understand these mostly white reporters going after Kyrie Irving, like, just because what? He had a couple things about being a flat earther and he was mean to some reporters in the media. Like, what are we doing? Why are people trying to invalidate Kyrie clearly sticking up for his peers? I don't understand that.
I feel like the biggest part of that is that Kyrie speaking out about not playing is just infringing upon the desires of people that want to watch basketball. The writers, I'm a writer myself. In a vacuum, I want the NBA to come back because, hey, this is the field I want to work in, make money in, make a living in. So, like, there's interest for me to have basketball there. Fans obviously want to watch basketball. They love basketball. So if Kyrie says, I don't want to play, they're upset about that because they miss it, which is natural. But I feel like Kyrie has just been vilified in a way that makes me uncomfortable. I'm all for Kyrie jokes. Most of them are funny. Like, the flat earther stuff is funny.
They're all funny. Oh, it's Kyrie.
He's a fun guy to pick on. But, like, Woj calling him the disruptor, like, words mean things, man. And the whole thing with Kendrick I don't even want to get into the Kendrick Perkins thing. He is just, why is he, why?
Can you tell the people what he said today, because a lot of people were killing him today, and maybe not everybody knows.
Oh man, I give me just a moment. I can pull up that tweet right now.
Okay, because I missed it. Receipts. I missed it too. I must have been working. I missed that.
Yeah, oh, I just saw people killing Kendrick Perkins, and I was like, that's another Wednesday. Wonder what he did today.
Yeah, so it started with him doing a segment on The Jump, and he said that if you took Kyrie's brain out and put it in a bird, the bird would fly backwards because Kyrie's confused.
What?
And it just kind of snowballed to the whole thing about Kyrie wanting to sit out and not having a plan of action and things of that nature, which, fine, you can disagree with Kyrie wanting to sit out or whatever. But then Kendrick Perkins decides to tweet. Give me just a moment.
Oh, it gets worse?
there's more?
That was it. It was like this awful.
No.
Kendrick doesn't have somebody to tell him to stop?
No. He said that on The Jump. And people rightfully slandered him for that opinion.
On my timeline right here now.
Here we go. He tweets and later deletes, MFers better be cool and chill, because I honestly took it light on Kyrie today when I really could have exposed that whole bleep that he's been doing on the phone conversations. Carry on.
Aren't they teammates? In Cleveland.
They were, yeah.
What is he doing?
Yeah, so he tweets that, deletes it, and then basically retweets the thing, but replacing whole bleep with a softer term. I'm just like, okay. But the moral of the story is Kendrick is just, he shouldn't have a job, man. I don't know how.
We got to the root of this.
I can't do it with Kendrick Perkins, man.
Has Kendrick Perkins ever had good analysis that you could remember?
No, he has not. Not one time have I heard Kendrick Perkins utter an opinion. I was like, you know what? He's got a point. Not once.
Kendrick Perkins or Reggie Miller?
Give me Reggie.
I think Reggie is unfairly slandered. I think Reggie's passable.
Reggie is very annoying.
I can't with his voice.
You can't really what?
I can't with his voice. Like, I just cannot listen to Reggie. It's automatic mute every time I'm watching a game.
He's not that bad. I think Marv is worse. I mean, unless you're making fun of Marv, that's like, fair. Marv is just unlistenable.
Marv didn't have a job either. But
yeah, I was going to say that's fair. There's nothing I can say about that one.
Fire a lot of people come December. All
right, guys. So there's no shortage of action going on in our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you want even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. And if you're looking for something else other than sports, BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournament, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, Blue Wire. Bet online, your online wagering experts.
I don't understand the Kyrie, the Woj piece aside, which was just so unnecessarily bad. Like, it was a hit piece for absolutely no reason. The idea that, like, I mentioned this, the idea that he was being controversial just for the sake of being controversial is absolutely ludicrous. Like, he's bringing up fair points and he's talking about activism right now. But I think that people are hating the message because they hate who it's coming from. And that's allowed people to be very dismissive of the real points that Kyrie is laying out because it's easy for people to joke about. And I agree with Nikias in that people just want basketball back, and he is not aligning with their desires. But the fact that he's a messenger that can be made fun of because of flat earth stuff allows them to make these hits personal and ignore the actual fact of his message, which is there's real shit going on right now around the world, and it's stuff that we need to be paying attention to.
More important shit than basketball, as much as we like it. The shit that matters.
Yeah.
We're at, like, one of perhaps the most important political juncture in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this stuff is important, and
that exists, you know, because we're not distracted, right? Like, that is the, like, it's no coincidence that when everyone is stuck at home, we're marching in the streets, that this is at the forefront of everyone's mind. And so adding in distractions does detract from what's going on right now.
You know, I was thinking, because I live with my mom, she's over 60, and she was somebody that watched CNN every day because she's working from home now and she's scared of the virus. So she's watching the news every single day. That's not something that ever happened in our house. It was, now she's very religiously watching the news. And all of a sudden the coverage shifted to the murder of George Floyd and the protests and everything that's going on. So, like, you know, you're watching the news every day habitually because you're at home, and all of a sudden the 24-hour news cycle becomes about Black Lives Matter, about protests, about the continual lynchings and murders of Black men by police officers. And all of a sudden this is in a segment of America's consciousness that it wasn't before, right? So it's like everybody who was glued to their news is now, right, the news shifted from COVID to everything that's going on with the protests, and everyone's just hyper aware in a way that I found interesting.
Yeah.
I don't like how it feels like reporters, particularly white reporters, are saying this to Kyrie, because, like, at the end of the day, like, they want their job back, and whatever Kyrie says is not as important as their paycheck, which is how I've been experiencing it.
That's how I understand it as well.
Yeah, that's definitely the big part of it. And I empathize, like, I'm media, but I'm also a Black man before I'm a writer. So as much as I would love to be breaking down, like, potential heat matchups or whatever else, like, people that look like me are getting gunned down by police. Black men and Black women, Black trans people, like, we're all victims of this kind of police brutality, and that needs to be rectified more so than I need to watch someone shoot a basketball.
People, like, and I don't like to call out people by name, but it's just one person that really stuck out to me, Ethan Strauss. Went weeks without saying a single word about what's going on when his job has been covering Black players, and the success of his sources have been Black players. You know, it's like this kind of, I guess, willful ignorance of the media is a little disgusting. And then them pushing, not that Ethan's pushing for the season to start, but like, those are the people that are also wanting the season to start, and kind of ignoring everything that's happening while Jaylen Brown is marching with people, Malcolm Brogdon is marching and organizing, Karl Anthony Towns, Dame Lillard, Steph and his wife, Aisha. You know, this is a league that's visible and active, and I just don't like those people kind of criticizing Kyrie for speaking up about. And Kyrie has a leadership position in the Players Association, correct?
Yeah, he's one of the vice presidents there.
There's, like, a lot of vice presidents. I saw the list. There's, like, 20 vice presidents. CJ McCollum's a vice president. I was like, there's a lot of vice presidents.
Yeah, and to that point, it's especially frustrating for me to see, like, my white counterparts not saying anything, because I don't know, like, it doesn't take much. It should take more. Like, I feel like we should all equally be as upset as, like, the Black community is about what's happening. But even if you're not, it costs $0 to listen. It costs $0 to retweet sources that are more informed or that are on the ground. It costs $0 to give a quick shout out to Zach Lowe. Zach Lowe is not an authority on this kind of thing, but he's had, like, Dwayne Casey on his podcast. He's had Caron Butler on his podcast. He's given platforms to Black voices to express what's going on. He's at least doing that much work. He's listening and giving people platforms to kind of get the information out there. And as writers, like, if you're not even sharing content, then I'm not sure how do you feel comfortable covering a predominantly Black league if you don't really care about the people in it?
Yep. And that's real. And I think beyond that, not only just about listening, not only just about posting, but for people who do have podcasts, like you're mentioning, when you look around and you're talking about this because you feel like you have to, but everyone around you is white that you're inviting, you don't have associates, colleagues, friends that cover the league that are Black or can share a Black experience with you, that says something about you. I think that says something about you as a person and the platforms that you've been giving lots of people, where that to me is what's very frustrating, is looking around and it's like so many of these writers have created this group, this circle of people who just look like them while covering a league of players who don't look like them. And never having seen the difference there and never really wanting to extend something beyond to maybe people who are Black, brown, Asian, like, that don't have the same opportunities that you do, kind of bothers me. It's like, how have you never recognized this? How do you not see the problem here?
I still remember when you live tweeted Bill Simmons' podcast with Russillo, which is like top five worst ideas ever.
That's the thing. Like, why was Ryan Russillo the first person that you thought to talk to about this? Like, he's literally a cop sympathizer. The whole thing was his view through a cop lens, because that's who he saw as his friends and his family. That's who he could imagine himself as, and not as a Black person. So it was completely unsympathetic to Black people and very through the lens of a white cop in the situation, which came off incredibly tone deaf. And then the next week he had another podcast that I didn't think was much better, but, you know, that's besides the point.
didn't he also admit to, like, voting for Trump for tax reasons or
yes.
something?
Ryan was...
What, like, why? He's the last person you want on if yeah. you're Bill Simmons.
I mean, and talked about how that's not racist. And it's like, okay, listen, I don't care what your beliefs are about Black people versus white people, but I care about the people that you're putting into power. And if you're empowering racists, then it doesn't matter what you think about Black people, because that's besides the point.
Look at what Trump passed this week about for trans people being yep. denied medical service in the middle of a pandemic.
Yep. Thought he could just slide that one on by.
But dog, you need that 10% less on your tax for, you know what I mean? Like,
you know, I vote selfishly and I think lots of people do. No, actually, some people care about the rest of the world.
They need more money to get into debt at the hands of the bank and credit card companies while the white men think that they're free while the banks are taking them for a fucking ride. As they're refinancing their fifth mortgage.
Yes, let's rail against capitalism. That's cool.
I mean, that's a whole other story. We don't got to get to that. We have, that's a
none
whole
of
other...
it is separate, though. It's all intertwined.
You can see that on my Twitter account at GNavis103 for all those takes. We got to do that here. You know, we're sponsored. You know, we're cool. Our corporate sponsors are cool. So we have all this happening. And there's a league that. Do you guys think it's going to happen? Like, do you guys think they're going to be basketball played in July?
I think so.
I didn't, but everyone is saying that they do, so I'm like, okay. But I look at this and I'm like, this is so makeshift. Like, this is so last minute. What are you guys doing? It's like when you're trying to write an essay in and get it in by 11:59. Like, that's what the NBA is doing, and it feels like a failed grade.
What do you guys make of LeBron and guys like LeBron and CP3 being on the other side, right? And I think, Nikias, you retweeted something. Was it Ed Davis that talked about the angle of generational wealth in respects to players collecting their paychecks in the midst of all this?
Yeah. He had an interview with Alex Kennedy, and he was talking about how he understands Kyrie's point, but also they don't want to lose all the money on the table. And what that can mean for the Black community now, what it can mean for future generations. And that, I mean, that's a valid point, I feel like. But yeah, this whole thing turned into Kyrie versus LeBron is
kind
of hilarious.
Why is everything first take? I hate it.
It's kind of hilarious. I don't want it to go there, but like, it's a bit odd. Just bringing it full circle to the Kendrick Perkins thing. Like, all three of these guys were teammates at a certain point.
That's true.
So I find it odd that as much as we talk about the clutch influence at ESPN, Kendrick Perkins has said a lot about Kyrie specifically. And like, LeBron has, I mean, he's doing his thing with voter suppression, which is more important. But like, I do feel like it's kind of odd that we haven't heard LeBron say much of anything.
That's his MO, though. When it comes to his other peers, I don't think that that's something that he wants to step in. I think he very smartly just doesn't want that.
I wouldn't see the benefit in him saying anything.
He runs a shadow organization to do it for him. Why would he?
Yeah, like, get Kendrick to throw shots.
I guess that's kind of my thing. Like, I feel like...
LeBron's using Kendrick as a burner account.
That's kind of what I wanted to allude to. Like, that's what it feels like at this point. Like, I mean, it's very, like, Kendrick's bad, period. But like, this is especially pointed, and like, the tweets today just kind of.
I don't like assuming that they're that I love to make the clutch jokes, but I mean, Kendrick's his own man, so I don't know anything. I'm not reporting. We're not saying that. But I do think that Kyrie really falls kind of outside of, for lack of a better word, like the sports binary of what a teammate should be. And I think that a lot of people, especially older people, it's usually the older players, right? It's Kendrick, it's LeBron. Like, KD's his homie, right? KD's a younger guy in the league. I don't really see guys like Steph having so much of an issue. It's always been the older guard that have more of an issue with stuff like Kyrie, when he's just, I don't know, Kyrie's kind of being a millennial, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Like, why are we blaming, like, okay, we got jokes, but like, why are we blaming Kyrie for being like kind of weird? Like, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. He's kind of weird. He's kind of funky. He has weird ideas. We meme him, you know. But you got Kendrick and people like that, and kind of older guard teammates or players in the league being more critical of him. I think Charles Barkley, right, was on the other day, kind of degrading the stuff that Kyrie wanted to do or whatever, which is falls very much in line with what Chuck always says and stuff. So.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I was not about to listen to anything the TNT crew had to say about
you. You did not want to hear them start a dialogue?
No, I did not want to. Did not want to hear what Barkley had to say. As much as cool as EJ can be,
EJ, listen, can we stop with this EJ's cool thing? EJ wrote in, what's the guy's name? The weird.
Yeah, I've been out on the TNT crew since then.
Like, that's kind of like, I don't want to hear you.
I only want to hear from Kenny, kind of. I like Chuck, but
I can take Chuck and Shaq and Kenny as being entertainment, but after EJ did that whole little spiel about writing in whatever his name is,
Kasich,
or I've been out. I've been done.
He thought he had something too when he said it on air. He looked at the camera.
Oh, and how Twitter was just like, "Oh wow, he's right," and you're so brave of you to say. And I was like, "What? What is brave about any of this?"
EJ just outed himself as a Republican. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, number one. Yeah, like I swear, like Kasich just passed like some like abortion bill that says like beyond 6 weeks you couldn't abort your child, and I was like literally like 6 weeks ago. But. Yeah, no, I've been out on the TNT crew. They don't have anything of value to say when it comes to ball or basketball. So
listen, D-Wade and Candace Parker have rights.
Yeah, that's
true.
When are they the A-team? When are we getting them to the A-team? Candace Parker's been great. I love her. She's been awesome on television. And D-Wade, we all know that. I stand two people, and it's Kyle Lowry and Dwayne Wade. Iman, are you worried about Kyle's fitness when he comes back?
No, did you see the picture of him?
I have not. I've only seen the picture of Marc Gasol. Oof.
Oh, yeah. Gasol's, like, svelte, and Kyle Lowry is the most D's I've ever seen him. Like, it's just a lot of muscles.
Is that bad?
He's literally built like a fire hydrant. It's just, like, blur.
I think thick Kyle is better, though. I think, like, girthy Kyle can take more contact going to
the rim.
That's
what I mean. Like, he's not slim. It's not skinny Kyle. It's like well-built Kyle. It's like a lot of definition. Just like muscles everywhere.
Did y'all see how the Heat, I think Ethan Skolnick of Fight Reason Sports reported that all Heat players were all in on starting the season. There's nobody, no deserters.
That doesn't surprise me.
Jimmy Butler has everyone in line in the Pat Riley boot camp of we are basketball first.
Can't say that surprises me in the slightest. That's just kind of how the organization runs.
I mean, you know,
that's what Heat culture is.
What happened?
I said that's what Heat culture is.
That's what Heat culture is. Nobody falls out of line, and if you fall out of line, you're Dion, and you get shipped away, and you get dragged through the mud.
There you go. There are no obstacles, even COVID.
There are no obstacles, not even COVID.
There you go.
Honestly, like, kind of shifting a little bit to a Heat angle as we're kind of wrapping up the show. If they have a season and if they start, I know Bam has been vocal about, you know, he's part of the Player Coalition trying to get insurance because he's due for some money very soon. And, you know, if these guys get hurt while playing, you know, I mean, they're going to have to start playing maximum level basketball after not – what this has been longer than an off season, right?
Feels like, yeah.
And I think for most people – I know in Miami specifically, like – these guys live in condos, right? Like, this not, you know, Jimmy lives in a house and Goran lives in a house, but like most of these guys, I mean, like Hassan was living at like the Marquise building, and all these like guys like live in these high rises by the arena. They don't really have access to hoops and stuff, and the gyms were closed, and you're not really afforded the normal training regimen that you'd be used to having. So I think it's on top of like, you know, everything else that we talked about, I think it's kind of dangerous to ask these guys to come in and start performing at a high level in a highly physical sport.
Yep. That's like one of my biggest things.
I love the dead fish. You guys are like, yep, that sounds dangerous.
No, it's insane. Because you just get thrown into a playoff environment after not having played 5-on-5 for a few months. And it's like, okay, well, now you're... Like, you know, if you're a team like Portland that's playing, you know, to make it to the playoffs, you're paying high intensity right from the get-go. A lot of these other teams are also playing for seeding, especially out West. And it's like, how does that make sense? And then thinking about next year being truncated and still being like not being a truncated season, actually starting in December, but actually going the full year. Just all of it seems like a whole mess.
Why are they not cutting the season?
It's the same reason they're starting the season now. Like it's all about the money. And it just makes no sense because like my whole thing is, what if you're the Lakers, Clippers, Raptors, Heat, I don't know, a team who makes it to the finals this year and you have a long playoff run next year? It's like, are you really going to play until October, then take November off and then start the season back in December and play all the way until June and then possibly go to the Olympics in July? Like, how is that good for anybody?
You're just asking people to get hurt.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't know much about COVID, but we do know the effects of overextending your body that way, and that just seems like an awful idea. I don't know. We've gone back and forth. Like none of it seems. I think safe. We're all team hashtag don't start the league.
Yeah, like it should be canceled. It's not going to be. There's too much money at stake. But like this just shouldn't even be a discussion.
When will cancel culture come for the NBA season?
We should get like K-pop Twitter on hashtag cancel NBA.
Yo, maybe. Can we talk about K-pop Twitter being the unlikely heroes? What was that? I was like, where'd y'all come from? Flooding the tags. I have an anime account and I just see like a bunch of K-pop stuff on my timeline. I was like, where the hell did you guys come from? Heroes, man. Okay, so Iman, would you like to plug your stuff before we head out?
Yes, Dishes and Dimes. Check it out. It's an all-women's podcast. Bunch of Toronto Raptor fans. We also just talk NBA, focus a lot on the Eastern Conference because we don't care about the other side. So you can find that on iTunes, I guess, and Spotify and some other places that you can listen to podcasts on.
Nikias, do you have any upcoming work? I know you tweeted about writing stuff. Do you got anything in the works?
I do. I have a piece coming for Bleacher Report very soon. It is playoff theme. That's all I'm giving you.
So, my man's on Bleacher Report. So proud, man.
Appreciate it, man. Just trying to wrap my mental around writing about basketball again, since you know there's a lot of more important things going on right now. Amen. But hey, gotta get back into the flow of it since the NBA seems pretty hell bent on starting the season back. So content isn't gonna write itself.
Content, well, the bubble that's not a bubble will eventually form. So remember, y'all, follow us on Twitter at MIAHeatBeat. I'm gonna link Iman and Nikias's Twitter accounts in the description. Donate, go out, march, let your voices be heard. If you can't post, let people know, tell your family, unlearn racism, read Angela Davis, read, I'm reading Where Do We Go From Here. It's a Dr. King book, Chaos or Community. It's incredible. It's on Amazon for like $10. You could buy it. It's really good. Read Angela Davis. There's tons of PDFs on prison abolishment that you could read. She's one of the most brilliant people I've ever read. She's wonderful. There's so much for you guys to read and get educated on. If you don't know, a lot of these resources are on Twitter, online, and often for free. So if you guys can donate, read, be informed, march, support Black voices, support trans Black voices. It's Pride Month. You know, there's tons of ways that we can all help our communities and be better. No weird joke to end this podcast. Just please go find somewhere to help, because you know people really need it right now. So thanks y'all for listening, and we will we'll come back with content as news becomes available.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.